Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to be with you, to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Gary Harpst is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's our guest this half hour. Gary is an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. He is an executive with vast experience in the software business over the years. He now is leading the Six Disciplines organization, which helps companies like yours and mine make sure that we get our heads out of the sand and anywhere else it may be stuck, and make sure that we put our best foot forward as we lead our organizations. He's the author of Six Disciplines of Excellence, for Excellence, I should say, and the new book, Six Disciplines, Evolution, Revolution. He's our good friend, Gary Harpst. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Gary, one of the things we love talking about around here is leadership. Leadership is that somewhat quantifiable, but also often intangible. That's so important. There are leadership is such an interesting concept because there are things that leaders do that are specific and fundamental and you can hold them in your hands, so to speak. And then there are parts of leadership that are completely, just very intangible, and like courage and trust and things like that. It's an interesting concept, isn't it?
It really is, and we've found that focusing more on the tangible is more constructive. I mean, what does it mean? What do I have to do? And rather than the intangible.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though, that some of it born with and not taught.
Well, one of the things about it is the better you get at the tangible, the easier it is to be courageous, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. All right, so talk to us about, I know that you guys have identified four different types of leadership characteristics. Tell us about those.
Well, let me give one background here. That when you're a small organization, these types don't emerge. They kind of get all blended together in the things that you do. But as you grow, many organizations outgrow their own ability to execute, and it's the unawareness of these four different types of leaderships that contributes to that. The first one is what we call organizational leadership. It's the view of the whole organization strategy, long-term direction. The second is what we call initiative or cross-functional leadership. It's mm-hmm. more like project, assembling a group of different kinds of people to complete a strategic project. The third is departmental or team leadership, where you're an expert at a particular area or domain in the business, sales, engineering, or something, and you need to hire people that are good at that, train them, build best practices. It's the people management side. And then self-leadership is really applies to all individuals. It's a role where, in your role, are you doing the things necessary day-to-day to fulfill your individual role?
Say the last one again.
Self-leadership.
Self-leadership, okay.
Yeah. And so everybody is in that role. I mean, whether you can be in multiple of these leadership functions. So if I'm the CEO, I'm part of the organizational leadership, but I'm also have a self role in seeing on a day-to-day basis. I do the things that I need to do in that role.
Right. I like the way you set that up, Gary, because if you have three employees, you move back and forth between all four of those categories you mentioned. You could move back and forth in all four of those in an 8-minute period.
Absolutely right.
And then cycle it again the next 8 minutes. But then when you grow, as you said, when you grow, you start creating. I like to think of them as growth plateaus. You get to a certain point and you build out for that level of activity, and you get comfortable with that, then you grow to the next plateau and you build out for that with your team, that sort of thing. But as you grow, you and your people start specializing in those things, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And you know, that it's that transition from sort of blending it all together to splitting it apart gradually as you grow that slows businesses down. We call it outgrowing your own ability to execute.
I kick in your coverage. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's it. That's a great way to put it. And so there's almost two issues. What do each of those roles do? And then how do the roles interact with each other? And
yeah.
If it's your left brain talking to your right brain, that's one thing. But if it's five different people involved, it really does slow down an organization while they're trying to digest all that.
Now, and I want to get into those categories a little bit, but for someone who's truly entrepreneurial, the more a company become, the more a team becomes specialized, the organization starts, the individuals start getting specialized in these four levels. The more it makes a true entrepreneur worry that he's building silos or she's building silos.
Yeah, it's a trade-off, isn't it? I mean, the more you focus somebody, the better they get on that particular topic.
But then they start defending it, claiming it.
Oh, that's right, and it's a trade-off.
Yeah. So the thing is, folks, you're not going to avoid all of this. All you can do if you're aware of it, right, Gary? If you're aware of it, you can head off some of the. Us versus them kind of attitudes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, forewarned is forearmed,
yeah.
You definitely can manage this more effectively if you understand that.
And to me, this is where you have to bring in what my buddy Dr. R.K. Ciancutti, who's our trust expert in the Brain Trust, he talks about the us versus them thing. And as you allow your company to grow, the only way to prevent those silos is to find a way to build trust between the groups. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. So,
but, this is not an event. It's a process. Cause
it's a marathon, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like a marriage. You're working on it all the time.
So the first one is organization.
Yes.
Give us a 15-second introduction to that. We'll hit it when we come back.
Yeah. An organization leadership is role is to decide the long-term strategy. What's the vision? Where do we want to be 10 years from now? And plot out the broad steps for getting there.
So is that the leadership activity that the founder migrates toward as he has new managers?
Often.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on to that thought, folks. Quick break. Right back with Gary Harps. Right after these messages, he's the author of Six Disciplines, Execution, Revolution. That's the new book. 20 after. Stay with us. The Spencer Davis Group bringing us back. One of the classics, 7:23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter, listen to archives, read articles, ask questions. You got 5 seconds, so you got 15 minutes or anything in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun. We got something you can do there, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. I hope you'll check that out as well. Gary Harps is our guest, folks. Gary is the author of Six Disciplines for Excellence. That's the first book, and then the new one is Six Disciplines, Execution Revolution. Gary, tell us how we can find you and your books.
Well, for sure, on our website, sixdisciplines.com and Amazon. They're in also all the major bookstores.
But you guys market and help companies execute your Six Disciplines program, don't you?
That's right. We have a coaching program that teaches organizations how to craft really clear strategy and then make sure they execute it. And, of course, the execution is the hard part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Talking about it's easy, right?
Yes.
And they can find you. Give us the website again one more time.
Sixdisciplines.com.
Check it out.
And
I know you got a lot of free stuff there. That
yes,
people
we do.
Can use.
Great resources.
Folks, take advantage of that. Okay, we're talking about the four levels of leadership. The first one was organization, and we're talking about how that's probably the category, the direction that the CEO, you know, all founders of companies, as they grow, if they're doing the right thing, Gary, they're promoting themselves out of a job, right? They keep dropping off things that somebody else can do so they can go to the next level, right?
Yeah, that's right. Although I'd say the mistake that they make when they get sort of into that next level up is they have to involve their next layer down in the formulation of vision, or those guys don't execute very
right,
well.
Right, right. So you have to have those guys promoting you up.
Yeah, that's right. You have to, it's a team effort. Yeah.
So the people you hire need to be kicking you upstairs, right?
Yep. You need to take them with you.
Right. So, all right, what's the second?
What we call initiative leadership, and it's really involves projects. And how this is different than normal management is that a typical department leader hires somebody and sees the same individual and works with people of the same disciplines all the time, where an initiative leader is someone that has somebody from sales on the team and marketing on the team and engineering on the team. And
yep.
And you have to get these cross disciplines cooperating and have really clear priorities and scheduling, and once the initiative's over, you disband the team. And so it's a different kind of leadership.
Is that kind of thinking promote fighting the us versus them syndrome?
Well, absolutely. This is the way you tear down the silos. You form these virtual teams, so to speak, and they get really rallied together.
Right.
And by the way, those relationships working together build trust that helps
after
the project's over.
Absolutely. No, that's exactly right. Well said. All right, number three.
Number three is the departmental leadership, and this is, I think, what most people think about when they think of management, but it is leadership. And how do you hire the right people? And then when you get those people together, how do you get them to innovate? Today's world, you can't do the same things today you were doing yesterday. You've got to get better and better and better. Let's say you're a head of a sales team. You've got to be innovating on how you generate leads, mm-hmm. how you close leads, how you use technology.
And so you're talking now. You're talking about sophistication, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and I really think this is an area that a lot of small businesses really need help with. They really need a company like yours and other help to become a little more sophisticated in their management processes.
Well, I agree with you.
They don't like that term because it makes it sound like, you know, some entrepreneurs, some founders want to get bigger, but they don't want to think that they're getting bigger. You know, they don't want to be like a big company.
Well, they want to shoot from the hip. And,
yeah, that's not going to work.
Especially when you get more people involved, the better processes you have of agreeing on the way you do something so that people know how to improve it.
If
you don't agree on how you do it, then they don't even know. It becomes very random and shoot from the hip, and you waste a lot of resources.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. All right, number four.
Number four is the self-leadership, and that I think I'll give an example from me personally. Self-leadership is we encourage people to have a clear plan for the quarter, not a lot of detail, but here are the outcomes of my job. And typically I like to be very interrupt-driven. I get an email that's from a prospect that I need to follow up, and the next email is related to something else, and the third email is related to something else, and I tend to just bounce down things in the order they come in, and that's not the most effective way to work. And,
right.
So a better model is that you block time each day and say, I'm going to spend 2 hours a day on following up sales leads, and then when you get an email in, you drag that thing into your calendar, and you group the 10 leads that you're going to work
right.
with, and do that in one block of time. Well, we don't like to do that. We'd rather shoot from the hip. And self-leadership is just developing better and better techniques to do what's important.
You're talking about personal practices, personal management practices.
That's right.
You?
Yeah, a self-leader is somebody who declares this is what's important in my job and gets buy-in of their job.
Interruptions are the enemy of effective management, aren't they?
The tyranny of the urgent. Some people
I have that same thing, you know, in my organization, and it's hard to stay on task, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Gary, give us the website again, please.
SixDisciplines.com.
They can find more about what we're talking about at your website, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. We outline all this.
Lots of stuff. And the books. Don't forget the books. Find them wherever books are sold. Hey, Gary, let's have a good 2010 together. What do you think?
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Gary Harpst, H-A-R-P-S-T. He'll be back, I promise. We got a lot more to learn from him. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.